If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Don't look for God to supernaturally deliver you out of everything. Sometimes he uses people, and sometimes he uses your enemies to deliver you from your enemy. Everybody that delivers you is not your friend. Listen to this. He said, I'm going to send hornets. And then he says, listen to this, verse 29. You want an instant deliverance. He said, but I'm going to drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beast of the field multiply against you. In other words, God says, I'm going to leave the ites in place so that the land is in good shape when you get there. You trying to tell God to fire your supervisor? God said, no, let that supervisor stay there. Let them stay there so they can keep messing up, so that the big boss can see that it's time to get rid of them. But when they get rid of them, you won't be stepping into an infertile position. In other words, stop questioning God. Have faith and believe. Notice the two. Have faith and believe that he's doing exactly what he said. He's bringing you up, and he's bringing you, and he's bringing you, and Lord have mercy. That means in every situation that happens to you, God is bringing you, and tell your neighbor, stop your whining. You looking at your current condition and you saying, I can't live on this, I can't live on that. Stop that. You start looking at the fact that whatever you're living on, God is bringing you, and that's why when you go and do it yourself, you're never, ever, ever going to be received properly, because you're trying to get out. Learn to shut your mouth and give God praise. And then watch him bring you. And someone just asked the question. I hear it in the spirit. You're saying, Bishop Lambert, you keep saying have faith and believe. And you're asking right now, what's the difference? Let me tell you real quick. When you go to the doctor, you have faith in your doctor because you go to the doctor. That's why you go. Because you have faith. When the doctor diagnoses or prescribes, you take it because you believe. Watch this. If you study anything about medicine, you know that all medicine has side effects. Let me bust your bubble. Everything has side effects. Love has side effects. Lou Rawls told you. Lou Rawls told you it's a hurting thing. He said, for every little kiss, there's a little teardrop. For every single thrill, there's another heartache. Everything. Vitamin C has side effects. It binds you up. Everything's got side effects. But you will take that medication because you have faith in your doctor who says, well, the side effects are minimal. And we know that it's reported that these side effects can occur, but the gains are greater than the side effects. So you take it, grow your tail, but believe that the doctor didn't mean you any harm. This medication has been known to grow tails. And you said, doctor told me to have it. And not only do you believe it for you, but you tell other people, take one of my pills. They say, I got such bad headache. Yeah, I know. I got the same thing. Take one of mine. And their physiological response may not be the same as yours. Never take somebody else's medication. And never compare yourself to anybody. Well, you're doing it for them. You ought to do it for me. Oh, no, you can never go to God with that hand. If you know what I know, you better take whatever hand he deals you and don't look for more. Never go to God and say, well, look, Bishop Lambert's church is like that. Why can't I have it? God says, you want to go through the hell that Bishop Lambert went through? You want the heartbreak that he had? The disappointment? The pain? All you see is the result when he gets before you. Let's read on. I'm going to drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beasts of the field multiply. But little by little, I will drive them out from before you. Listen to this. Until you are increased. Here's what God is saying. I'm going to keep them there. Now, I'm telling you it's your land, but I'm keeping you there, and I'm using them to keep the land prepared for you. And then when you are increased, that means when you outnumber them, not because I need it, but you need to see that I can increase you, then I'm going to move you in. Do you know that most of our trouble comes from the lack of proper timing? Stepping into something we're not ready for just because we think we have an answer? You look at a situation and say, oh, I can solve that. If the pastor would just do this, I could solve that. And God is telling the pastor, don't do that, because they're not seeing what I'm showing you. And God is not obligated to show everything to the people, because he knows if he does that, he'll have trouble, because everyone will look at it through their own understanding. 60% of you look at this crowd and think that our offerings should be high, because you're looking at it with your natural eye. But if you knew the truth, it'd break your heart. Never go by what you see or what you hear. People will run up to you and tell you lies. On your job, somebody will come up to you and say, I'm doing the same job you're doing, but I'm getting $29 an hour and you only getting 10, and you get mad. How do you know they tell them the truth? How do you know the devil didn't send them to destroy your faith? That's what happened with these people. God had told them, I'm giving you this land. And listen, it's going to take you a little while to get there, but just wait. Why? You have a promise. They have an exit sign. You have a promise. Wait for your promise. Don't be in a hurry. I need mine now. I need it right now. If I don't get it right now, what? Why is it that we believe people who tell us lies? How do you know these people are telling you the truth? God doesn't heal anymore. Who are they to tell us that God stopped healing? And here we believe it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, that was under the first century church. God doesn't do that anymore. There are people today that have a problem with the laying on of hands. I don't get into all that. Well, who are you to defy scripture? The Bible said, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And now you got somebody, some theologian telling you, well, I don't lay hands. Then I don't want you in that position. You're going to rob me because you don't believe. Watch this. He says, and I will set bounds from the Red Sea even unto the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert to the river. And I'm going to deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand. Check this out. There are people that come to me prophetically from other states in this great country. Some of them, I marvel at the fact that some of them don't even, never seen me before in their lives. Never. Had this happen to me last week. I was in Seattle, and a guy comes up to me, and when I first arrived there, they had a name sign that said Bishop Eric Lambert. And I quickly gave it to the lady that was the coordinator. I said, take off Bishop. I don't want nobody to know who I am. Before anybody sees it, I don't want nobody to know who I am. I ain't having that. So I just had to sign Eric Lambert. And the people were, Bishop Lambert! Yes? I watch you on YouTube. I see you. The Lord is... And I don't even know these people. And they said, God said to tell you he's giving you such and such and such. And for you to move in so and so and so. I went to a church. They invited me there to pray. I wasn't going, because I don't let strange people pray for me. It's funny, y'all never asked to do that for me, but that goes with the fact that they don't like me. So this church called, and they said, we want to just pray for you. And I said, I ain't going. I told Denise, I don't want to go. And the Spirit of God said, you got to go. I said, call them back. Tell them I'll go. Y'all pray for Denise. Lord, have mercy. Working for me is not easy. I'm schizophrenic. So she's learned not to give you any answers until about 4 days. Because on Monday, I'm angry. On Tuesday, I'm she knows. And so I go to the church. And the entire prophetic team comes up and begins to pray. And they're speaking stuff that nobody has said. And I don't know these people. God is just filtering stuff. I mean, he's just throwing stuff at them. Well, I'm resolute. I'm a Gemini. So Eric is resisting, but Ricky is holding it up. Because I'm a Gemini, there are two of us in here. It's like Jacob and Esau. He's drinking it up. He's drinking it up. And they're just saying stuff. And so when they were done, they're saying things to me. And others have said it. And then it's been repeated. And then it's been confirmed. And it always brings me to the same question. Of the six interrogatories, it leaves me with how. Never what, never why, never when. How? How do I take this? How do I do that? How? Last week, Spirit of God spoke to me to answer my how after years of asking. He answered me with the Nike slogan. Just do it. He said, you get past your pragmatic way of thinking and just do it. If you believe me, just speak it. Just say it. Just do it. Just do it. Don't figure it out. Just do it. Why? Because you believe me. You believe what I've said. God said, I got this place for you. You're going in after you increase. See what it says? All right, real quick, we're going to do some Columbo deductive reasoning. The promise says, I'm going to let you get in there, verse 30, when you increase. Right? Do we all agree? Go to Numbers. Now, there's a lot that happens between verse 16 of chapter 12 and verse 1 of chapter 13. Verse 16 of chapter 12 says, and afterward the people removed from Hazeroth and they pitched their tents in the wilderness of Paran. In other words, they were at the doorway of the promised land, about to go in. Now, what was the promise in Exodus? When will they go in? When they've increased. When they're ready. So between Exodus, there's can we recite the books of the Bible? Genesis. Between the promise of Exodus, the demonstration of God's power in Exodus, the promise to occupy comes after the miracles. Between Exodus and Numbers 13 is, and Leviticus is filled with laws on how to live once you enter that land. Here's what God is saying. While you are waiting to go in, I'm going to teach you what to do when you get in so you'll be equipped to handle the land. I'm going to tell you what you should eat, what you should not eat, how you should worship me, how you should conduct yourself, how you should avoid idolatry. Why? Because the nations that live where you're going, they do those things, and I don't want you caught up. So I'm going to take an entire book to teach you how to worship me, how to come before me, how to sacrifice to me. Why? Because when you get to the land, there won't be time to teach you. It's time to fight. So that when they get to Numbers 12, they pitch the tents right in front of their land. They see it. They have faith. They see the land. God is saying, look at the land, look at the mountains. Ooh, ooh, glory. Look at them. Ooh. Now, Numbers says God told Moses to get some people and send them into the land. Later on in Deuteronomy, we read where Moses said, you asked me to ask God to send people, and I went to God, and God said, yeah, give them what they want. And so Moses picks a leader of every tribe, 12 men. He said, now go in, and he gives specific instruction. Check the topography of the land. Go up from the south. There's a reason he's telling them to do this. He doesn't want their faith to hinder their belief. He says, check out the topography. Check out the people. Check out their houses. Check out everything. Then come back and tell me how it is. So Moses is operating in faith and belief. He believes God. Why? He's always up on that mountain. You spend all that time with God, you're going to believe him. So he figures they'll catch it because I demonstrated they'll catch it. So go on out there, get this information, bring it back. So when they came back, they said, Moses, we need to brief you. He said, no, tell everybody. Tell everybody. He gathered the people. Come on, y'all. We're going to hear the report of the board. And the board said, look at all this fruit. Ooh, we have a stalk of grapes, a bunch of grapes. It took two of us to carry it. The people are like, yeah, right on, yeah. They were, woo. They said, look at these melons. Woo, these melons come from Georgia. Look at these melons. And they said, woo, look at the melon. Cut a triangle out of one and see if it's sweet. And if it's not, put the triangle back and then turn it over like we do at the market. So they go through all that, and they say, surely the land is flowing with milk and honey. And Caleb and Joshua, they're going, high five, because we touch and agree. We created the symphony. You and me, Caleb, you my road dog. That's right, Josh, we going into this bad boy. This, look, ain't nothing to it but to do it. They were getting their swords sharpened. They were ready, and they said, let the people talk, because they are right now. They right here. Go on, y'all. Give the rest of the report. Then somebody in the back said, they ain't telling you everything. They're giants over there. Giants so big when they walked, the earth shook. They went from faith to doubt. They said, God didn't tell us there was giants. He just said there were Hittites and Hivites. He didn't tell us nothing about the children of Anak. And wait a minute. If there's Anakins over there, then there must be other insurmountable obstacles. We can't do this. And 10 of them engaged in a symphony. 10 of them agreed. We can't do this. Only 2 agreed with God. And here's what God did, and you take a lesson from this. After the report of the 10, God wiped them out and all of their lineage, because he couldn't take doubtful people into the land. So it took him 40 years to purge everybody who had smelled fear. You have people in your life that you need to get out because they don't believe. And that's why you're not believing, because you're holding on to your boo. And your boo is making you have a boo-boo. You say, I wonder why I can't believe God. You don't have to go any further than your immediate associations. When you constantly hang around people who complain, people who find fault, people who are always looking at what's negative, people who are always talking about what's not being done for them, when you constantly have those people in your life, they drain your spirit. When you have people who are perpetually unhappy, they're angry because they haven't been visited. Bishop, ain't nobody from church ever come to see me. Let's look back at your resume. Did you ever visit anybody? The Bible says you reap what you sow. Did you ever visit anybody? Pastor, nobody came to my aunt's funeral. Did you ever go to anybody's funeral? Well, my amens went way down. People beat up on Pastor Norman. Nobody called me. Nobody called me. Norman said this morning, he said, I'm a spiritual man, but I can't tell if you're in the hospital. You have to call. In fact, the Bible said, call the elders. He didn't say call the pastors. He said, call the elders. Why? It's a demonstration of faith and belief. But when you hang around people who are bitter, nobody came to see me. The ushers didn't even bring me down here. Made me fend for myself. Some of the messages that's brought to me during the course of the day, just bitter people. Bitter people. Why are you so bitter? And that bitterness becomes transposed. Now you made somebody else bitter. All it takes is one person to spread the poison. I went down to Mac Joe's hair place, and his shampoo girl used the wrong shampoo. I ain't going there no more. Instead of saying, I'll talk to them about it. Maybe they didn't even know that I can't use that particular type of shampoo. No, you go out and tell 30 other people, you shouldn't go no more because he got this shampoo girl from Columbia Avenue and she real rough with your hair. Just bitter. Why you got to be so bitter? Why you have to be so bitter? Pastor Lambert don't like me. He like Martin. He like Aaron. He don't like me. Probably right. But if it's true, it's because I don't know you. I know them. It doesn't mean you're incapable of being liked by me. It just means I spent time with them. So there's a natural matriculation towards them. They drove me around. They ate with me. They sit with me. They fuss with me. So we connect. So I'm going to lean towards them more. Oh, he likes Norman more than he likes me. I'm no Norman. I don't even know how. I married this man, him and Rochelle. They were the first people that I ever performed a wedding for. How am I not going to like them? I hear the bitter people go around. He just liked this person more and more and more and more. Just get to know me and let me get to know you and get rid of the bitterness. Don't pout. I ain't going to Bethel no more because Pastor Lambert don't even speak to you. I didn't see you. I was talking to somebody else. I was in the mall. He walked right past me. When I'm in the mall, I'm in defense mode. I'm looking around to find the exits, to find, in case I have to defend myself, what tools are available for me. I'm not looking at people. I'm a city boy. But don't come back to church and spread poison. He just ain't friendly. Pastor Lambert ain't friendly. See, he ain't friendly. I sent him an email 3 weeks ago, and he ain't answering. I don't know that's you. All I see is Pookaboo 2120. I don't know that's you. I don't know Pookaboo. I asked Denise, are they on the membership list? She said no. I don't know. And so you destroy everybody else's faith in our ministry. Everybody else's belief in what we're going to do for God because you're bitter. Those 10 were bitter. And when you're bitter, you can't see the promise, only the obstacle. Bitter people can never see what God is going to do, only what they are not getting. Bitter people always think they're not getting what they deserve. They always think that they should have more. They never know how to flow until God establishes them. Maybe God is holding off your blessing because, as in the case of the children of Israel, you're not ready. But if you believe him, it doesn't say they that complain get stronger. It said they that wait get stronger. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 6. Then Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke unto all the company of the children of Israel. They did not say, you're right. Don't agree with grumbling, griping people. Child, I know, I understand. No, I know the elders didn't visit me. The pastor didn't call. I know. Look, I agree with you. Never do that to a complainer. Never do that. Because then you're a partaker of their sins. Tell them, well, if you have that kind of a complaint, you need to call the pastor. Never make a spiritual decision out of ignorance. Don't make it when you're angry. Don't make it when you're afraid. They were afraid. They saw something and they immediately deduced that they couldn't do it. They forgot all that God did from Exodus 3 and following. They spoke unto all the company, saying, the land which we pass through, it's a good land. And if the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into the land and he will give it to us, because it's a land flowing with milk and honey. And don't rebel against the Lord. That's what you tell them. Don't rebel against the Lord. We're about to undertake a building program. There's going to be somebody that says, watch, watch. He's going to start asking for a whole bunch of money. Tell him, shut up. Just shut up. If the Lord delights in us, he's going to give it to us. And I trust my man of God. In 29 years, he's never burdened us. In 29 years, we've never had a whole bunch of offerings. In 29 years, we've never, never had to put our faith in flesh. What makes you think it'll change now? Just because it's a bigger project doesn't mean it's a smaller God.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
07-316P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Bethel Christian Academy of Wincode has begun open enrollment for the 2016-2017 school year. Affiliated with the Association of Christian Schools International, this Christ-centered academy prepares children, grades K through 5, for educational excellence. Bethel Christian Academy of Wincode provides a Christ-centered curriculum, a state-of-the-art mobile computer lab, physical education, a STEAM focus on science, technology, engineering, arts, and math, music and interactive Spanish classes, as well as before and after school care, and much, much more. The Academy also offers affordable tuition and payment plans, and a 10% discount for all Bethel Deliverance International Church members. To enroll your child or for additional information, call 215-885-2585. Bethel Christian Academy of Wincode. Investing in lives today, ensuring bright futures tomorrow.